Tonight, Archie responds to a call from a woman in room 304. Rushes over and finds her, well, you can guess. But whether you guess what comes after that, we shall see. In The Case of Room 304, one of the new adventures of Nero Wolfe, it comes from April 27, 1951.
Ladies and gentlemen, the ringing of that phone bell brings you mystery, adventure.
Nero Wolfe's office, Archie Goodwin speaking.
Hello? Is this Mr. Wolfe?
If it's for me, I'm not here.
Hello?
What if it's a case?
If it is, tell him no.
I will not.
Hello, hello?
Confound you, Archie, do as I say.
Hello?
Hello, is this Mr. Wolfe's residence?
Yes.
Is this Mr. Wolfe?
Yes, Mr. Wolfe speaking.
Oh.
Well, now, yes. What kind of trouble, miss?
Give me that phone, Archie.
No.
Hello?
Sorry, I had to turn the radio down. Too loud, you know.
May I see you right away?
Well, I...
I'll pay you $1,000 as a retainer fee.
Yes, indeed. I'll take the case. Come right over. The address is 601 West 35th Street.
I cannot, Mr. Wolfe. I just cannot come there.
Well, where do you live?
I am staying at the Paul Hotel, room 304, and I...
Hello? Boss, that was a shot. Hello? Hello?
Ladies and gentlemen, it's that renowned genius who is the bulkiest, most ponderous, and most brilliant detective in the world. Yes, none other than that chair-borne mass of unpredictable intellect, Nero Wolfe. Created by Rex Stout and brought to you in a new series of adventures over this NBC network in the person of Mr. Sidney Greenstreet.
We have usually referred to this story as the case of Room 304. The girl on the phone had a decided foreign accent. I wasn't quite able to decide what nationality she was, but it sounded like French. Anyway, there was what sounded like a shot, and then dead silence for a second or two. Hello? Hello? Hello?
Well, Archie, another woman? Bah.
Mr. Wolfe, I heard a shot, and then the line clicked off.
Trouble. Women always trouble.
I said I heard a shot on the phone.
Indeed.
I'm going over to her hotel and see what goes on.
By all means, Mr. Wolfe.
Yeah. Huh?
Now that I've been insulted to the tone of being called a radio...
I'm sorry, Mr. Wolfe, but we needed the money, and this was $1,000.
If you'll excuse me, I have to attend to my orchids, Mr. Wolfe.
What about the girl, the shot?
Fascinating, isn't it? You figure it out.
Okay. I've got to get over there. Room 304, Paul Hotel. So long, boss.
Good luck, Mr. Wolfe. Please phone me from time to time.
301, 302, 304. What do you know? The door's open. Oh, hello.
Who are you?
Archie Goodwin. Now it's your turn.
I'm Jay Bream, pilot for Jan Airlines.
Have you seen... Yeah, I guess you have. This girl's been shot.
Oh, is that so?
Yeah, dead. Real dead. What do you know about this?
I don't know anything. Say, who are you?
Looks like you're in a spot, pal. You better start digging, hadn't you?
I got here a few seconds before you did. I knocked on the door. The door was partially open, so I pushed it wide and...
Go on.
Well, there was no answer. I couldn't see anyone, so I came in and... Oh, there she was.
You know her?
Well, yes. Why do you think I came here?
That's what I'm trying to find out.
Look, what right have you got asking me all these questions? What's it to you?
Did you ever hear of Nero Wolfe?
Of course, who hasn't?
Like I said before, I'm Archie Goodwin, Wolfe's assistant. Now, would you rather talk or should I call the police?
I've told you all I know.
Who is she?
Helen Rennie.
French?
I don't know. European, anyway.
Why'd you come here tonight?
I have a dinner date with her.
You mean you did have?
Yeah.
Let's turn her over. There. Had an automatic in her hand.
Yeah. I never saw it before. Hey, I wouldn't use the phone. The fingerprints.
It's okay, I'll use this handkerchief.
Who are you calling?
My boss.
Oh.
Nero Wolf speaking.
Archie, boss.
Archie, I thought you were Nero Wolf. You sound very much like him.
Please, boss, be serious.
Oh, but I am.
I'm here at the girl's apartment, the one who called me. She's dead.
Beautiful?
Yes, was very beautiful.
She would be. How did it happen?
Shot. Neat round hole in her right temple. She's married and looks like she shot herself. When I turned her over, I saw a wedding ring on her finger and a .32 automatic still in her hand.
Are you alone?
No, a fellow named Jay Bream, a pilot. He was here when I arrived.
No one heard the shot?
Apparently not. No one showed up yet.
Very interesting. What do you do now, Mr. Wolf?
Should I call Inspector Kramer?
No, say nothing to anyone. Get over here at once and bring Mr. Bream, the pilot, with you. Goodbye.
That's all you know about it, Mr. Breen?
That's right, Mr. Wolf. Just like I told Mr. Goodwin here.
The whole thing sounds... Hey, I just thought of something.
Pray tell, Archie.
It can't be suicide.
Oh, and why not?
How can a dead woman hang up a phone?
You finally arrived at that, Archie. Amazing. Of course she couldn't. She was murdered.
Murdered?
Yes, Mr. Bream.
But I thought she committed suicide.
Please, Mr. Bream, it'll be better if you don't think. Where do you stay?
321 West 19th, apartment 5.
And your job?
I've 10 days vacation. Started yesterday.
One thing, Mr. Bream, I suggest you don't leave town. Furthermore, talk is not advisable. I strongly recommend that you adopt precautions.
Yes, sir.
Show Mr. Bream to the door, Archie.
Yes, sir. Right this way.
Good night, Mr. Wolf.
Good night.
I didn't want to tell you in front of Mr. Bream, but I found this in her purse when I sent him for a sheet to cover the body.
$1,000 check. Made out to Mr. Nero Wolf.
Well, boss?
I think it's time we phoned Inspector Kramer.
Should I?
Who else, Archie? Who else?
My apologies. I forgot how heavy that phone really is.
Archie.
Oh. Do you want me to talk to the inspector?
I'll do the talking.
Should I hold the phone for you?
You can get me some beer.
Inspector Kramer.
One moment. Here you are.
It's Nero Wolf, Inspector. I think you had better go over to the Paul Hotel.
Yeah, why?
I believe you'll find a dead woman there.
A dead woman? What is this, a gag, Wolf?
I'm afraid not, Inspector.
Well, how did you know about it? Have you been over there?
Telepathy, Inspector.
Mental Wolf, I'm too busy today to listen to nonsense. Telepathy. Don't give me that kind of stuff. If I find a body, I'll lock you and Goodwin up.
You watch your blood pressure, Inspector.
Never mind about my blood pressure.
One thing, Inspector.
Yeah?
Would you hold off the press for the present?
Why? What are you holding back, Wolf?
Will you stop your idiotic jabbing, do what I ask?
Okay. By the way, Wolf, I suppose you know the girl's room number.
Naturally, Inspector. It is room 304. So hurry. Dear Inspector Kramer, he's so fond of me. Archie.
Yes, sir?
I suggest you call the bank in the morning and find the person who is handling Miss Renee's account. Try to bring all her canceled checks over here.
And what if they won't hand them over?
Then Kramer will get an order issued to do so. Simple?
Coming.
Well, where's Wolf?
Where do you think he'd be? In his big chair.
Good evening, Inspector. I expected you before this, Inspector. What kept you so long?
If I told you I had a flat tire, would you believe me? Now start giving, Wolf. What did you know about the dead girl?
Inspector Kramer, do sit down. Relax. Nervous tension is such a deadly thing.
Now listen here, Wolf.
Would you like some beer? Most soothing, you know.
Come on, what's the dope on this case?
Fill the inspector in on the details, Archie.
I was here talking to the girl over the phone. There was a shot, and then I went over to her hotel and found her the same as you did, dead on the floor. And the phone was placed back on the hook.
Come on, Wolf. There's more to this than that. Let's have it.
Really, Inspector?
Who was she?
You don't know?
I mean, what do you know about her? Now get this straight, Wolf. Please, Wolf, what's this all about? A girl's been shot. Her name is Helen Rennie. What's the dope?
Did you have a ballistics report made on the gun?
Well, not in this short time, but I will.
How did you make out your report?
Suicide, naturally.
But Archie was talking to the girl on the phone at the time she was shot.
So she chooses to kill herself talking to your assistant.
Why, you big, flat-footed...
Inspector, precisely how can a dead girl hang up a phone?
Why, she...
You see, Inspector, quite impossible. And now I suggest you make out your report, murder.
Murder? Wolf, tell me, why is it you're always mixed up in these cases?
That, Inspector, would be as difficult to answer as it would be to convince Archie of the danger of the female of the species.
Oh, what's the use? No one ever answers my questions. I give up.
Oh, Inspector, I do hope you will bring the girls' cancer checks tomorrow if they don't turn them over to us.
What?
The inspector is just going, Archie. Please see him to the door.
I'm not helpless.
Good night, Inspector.
Good night.
Please, boss, can't we have just a little air in here?
You've been out all the morning. Isn't that enough?
I'm going to get me an oxygen tank to use in here.
Did you contact the bank regarding the girl's account?
I did. I finally talked to the head of the accounting department. He told me about her personal agent here, Mr. Renfrew. He was handling all her financial affairs. I went to see Renfrew.
What did he have to say?
Very little. But he seemed very upset when he learned of her death. I didn't tell him how she died. He said Helen Rennie was here buying technical equipment for her government in Europe.
Technical equipment? What kind?
Laboratory stuff.
Did she make any definite purchases?
From the Arrow Company here in town, and Mr. Paul Morio is the head man of this Arrow Company. Mr. Renfrew, her agent, gave us quite a bit of an argument about coming over here today, said it was very irregular to show bank statements. But he finally gave in. I didn't need the inspector's help.
What time do we have the honor?
He said he'd be here at noon.
Noon? You know I'll be busy at that time.
Well, I didn't think you'd let...
Archie, you never do.
Your lunch will keep just this once, Mr. Wolf.
Not this once, nor any other time, Archie. You know I have lunch precisely at noon. Not after, not before. Understand?
Yeah.
I surmise you have the address of the Arrow Lab Supply Company.
Yes, sir. You want me to go have a talk with Mr. Morio, who runs the place?
Sometimes, Archie. Your conclusions are fantastic.
I'm leaving.
One thing more.
And?
After you return from your visit with Mr. Morio, would you be so kind as to entertain Mr. Renfrew until after my lunch? And... don't stand there with the door open.
Sorry, boss. I'll go out through the coal chute. Do forgive me. Arrow Supply Company.
Come in.
Oh, Mr. Morio in?
Yeah, I'm Morio.
My name's Archie, Archie Goodwin.
What can I do for you, Goodwin?
I'm Nero Wolf's assistant. You've heard of Nero Wolf?
I don't get around much. Tell me about him.
How should I answer that?
Any way you like.
Nero Wolf's a detective. Did you ever hear of a Miss Rennie?
Stop shadow boxing, Mr. Goodwin. What's on your mind?
I understand you sold Miss Rennie some laboratory equipment.
Is it a jail term? Now listen, Mr. Goodwin, I have a nice, respectable business here, so what do you want? Spill it.
When'd you last see Miss Rennie?
2 days ago.
Talked to her since?
Once on the phone.
What time was that?
Yesterday morning.
You called her from your office here?
No, from my hotel room. Now, look, let's quit playing cat and mouse. Why all the questions?
Miss Rennie is dead.
Dead? Who did it? Now, wait a minute. You don't think I had anything to do with it?
What makes you think anyone did it?
It'd be the only reason cops would get into it.
You know, Morio, I'm beginning to wonder just how long you've been in the lab supply business. You know what a retort is? And don't tell me it's a snappy comeback.
Now, what's the matter, Goodwin? What's eating you?
Look, Morio, I came here to find out something about Helen Rennie. Just what sort of equipment did you sell her?
It was heavy stuff, heavy chemical works.
Where is it?
We don't have samples, just pictures. Yeah, we ship it direct.
Oh, so the purchaser never sees what he's buying.
That's right.
Could I see what she purchased?
I'm afraid not, Goodwin. Besides, what difference would it make?
Did Miss Rennie see what she bought?
No, I already explained that. Now, I'm busy, Goodwin, so if you don't mind...
Okay, I'll run along. Good afternoon, Mr. Morio. I'm sure we'll meet again. Soon.
Nero Wolf speaking.
Archie, boss.
Yes, Archie?
Just left the Arrow Lab Supply Company, and as far as I'm concerned, something's rotten in Denmark.
Indeed.
This guy Morio, who runs the company, doesn't sound like a legitimate lab supply man. I think he's running some kind of a racket.
What makes you believe that, Archie?
Just not the type to be in a legit business. Things just don't jive. If she didn't see what she bought...
You believe, then, that he would have reason to want Miss Rennie out of the way?
Yeah. The guy made me see red. I wanted to take a poke at him.
Archie, you're an idiotic hothead.
He said it was all heavy lab stuff she bought, and it was too late for me to see it.
Forget it now. Get over here as soon as you can.
Immediately?
Immediately. Have you forgotten you have an appointment with Mr. Renfro at noon? Goodbye.
Coming, coming.
Hello, Mr. Goodwin.
Mr. Renfro... Well, well, who's this? My goodness, come in.
Yes, come in, my dear.
Thank you.
Mr. Goodwin, I brought my secretary along. I hope you don't mind.
Mind? Why, Mr. Renfrew, how could anyone object
to... Mr. Goodwin, Miss Bennett.
Hello, Miss Bennett. First name?
Jean. Do you always use this approach, Mr. Goodwin?
Only at noontime, and my name's Archie. Well, this is a happy surprise. Please sit down, Jean. Allow me.
Thank you.
Well,
wasn't it Mr. Renfrew you wanted to see?
Yes. Mr. Wolf will be down shortly, Mr. Renfrew. Please be seated.
Thank you.
Is something wrong, Mr. Goodwin?
Not a thing, Miss Bennett. Not from where I sit.
I don't believe a word he says, miss. His judgment concerning women is not to be trusted.
Thank you, Mr. Wolf. You're so kind. Mr. Wolf, Miss Bennett.
How do you do?
Mr. Wolf?
Mr. Renfro, I presume.
Yes.
Now we can get down to business at hand, Mr. Renfro.
Yes, yes, by all means.
I don't understand why we couldn't have discussed this on the phone, Mr. Wolf. The whole thing is highly irregular. Of course, I know you're trying to do your duty, but...
I prefer not to discuss the dead girl's business affairs on the phone, Mr. Renfro. You should appreciate that.
Yes, yes, I see. Now, what is it you wish to know?
How long have you known Helen Rennie?
About a month.
When's the last time you talked to her?
Yesterday.
What time?
Why, about 2:30. I called her from my room. She was here on government business.
You brought the cancel checks?
Here you are, Mr. Wolf.
Quite sizable amounts, Mr. Renfro. Very interesting indeed.
Yes? You see, Miss Renee made some very large purchases, Mr. Wolf, and of course they were all quite legitimate.
Would you mind if I kept these checks overnight?
Well,
thank you, Mr. Renfro. By the way, was Miss Rennie right or left-handed?
Why, left-handed, Mr. Wolf. Why?
Just inquisitive. Now, if you would excuse me, Miss Bennett, Mr. Renfro, I have a very urgent appointment.
Well, if I can be of any more service, don't hesitate to call on me, Mr. Wolf.
Thank you, sir.
Oh, dear. Poor Miss Renee. I hope the person who did this dreadful thing is dealt with properly.
Indeed.
I must run along now.
Yes, this way. Must you go too, Miss Bennett?
Good day, Mr. Wolf.
I must, and good day.
See you soon, Miss Bennett. Well, boss, what do you think? Isn't she a beauty?
I'm sure I'm not a fair judge, Archie. Do you happen to know where the Morio warehouse is?
Why, yes. It's at the other end of town near the river. Oh, no, not again.
9 o'clock tonight.
Okay, okay. I suppose you want me to take a gander at what's in the warehouse, break in like a burglar?
Archie, if your mind were free of women, I do believe you could reach phenomenal heights in this your chosen profession.
Nothing around here but a bunch of old tubes and glassware. I hope Wolf knows what he's doing. I don't.
All right. Stand where you are and reach.
What's it?
Flip the lights on, Joe. That's better. Now, sing up and tell me what you're doing here.
I beg your pardon. I'm a little deaf. I couldn't hear you.
I said, what are you doing here?
Oh, Ellen. I was supposed to meet her here.
Makes sense, will you?
You think I can?
What's the matter, Mac? Visitors?
And this bird refuses to talk.
Well, then knock it out of
her. You two talk it over. Don't bother telling me how it comes out.
Hey, wait a minute, you. You ain't leaving.
All right, you win. The
This night is just full of surprises.
Ain't it? Let's see what you're told.
Hey, who do you think you're shoving around?
Just full of questions, ain't you?
You know, someday you're going to end up by getting into trouble. It's illegal to push people around.
I guess you better understand.
Hey, are you kidding?
Get the point? Now, get up. Now, talk.
Why, you...
You still want to play, huh?
He's out like a light, Mac. What are you going to do with him?
He won't do any more snooping around here.
You know something, Mac? You've got an awful disposition. I'm actually scared of you. You're that mean.
Yeah. Now, dump him outside.
Hey, boss. It's me, Archie, remember?
Archie, these interruptions are detestable. Can't you see I'm busy? Is that you, Archie?
I've been busy too, boss. Look at my face. I had an accident.
From your appearance, I'd say that someone else had been busier. All right, Mr. Goodwin, as long as you insist upon interrupting my meditation, start at the beginning.
Mr. Wolf, I arrived at the warehouse. I went inside. I saw a lot of packing cases and a bunch of old glassware, worn-out junk. Two men jumped me. I came to lying in the alley. I staggered to a cab and made it home. End of story.
Archie, your repertoire of words is most astonishing. And your description of Morio's warehouse is without doubt most enlightening.
I thought you'd like it.
And now, Archie, I suggest you get Fritz to give you a piece of beefsteak for that eye of yours.
And after that?
I've arranged a gathering for 5 o'clock tomorrow afternoon.
Then I shall repair to my bed to suffer in silence.
You should be more careful on these nefarious expeditions. You might get hurt sometime.
Yes, I've been a careless fellow, Mr. Wolf. Good night.
Good night, Archie. Pleasant dreams.
Mr. Wolf?
I'm glad you called me early. I was just about to leave town for a couple of days. What is this conference about?
Not at this time, sir, if you please.
I'm glad you could come along, Miss Bennett.
Well, I'll be happy to assist in any way I can, Mr. Goodwin.
Archie?
Right. Well, good evening, Mr. Morio. I knew we'd meet again.
It's no fault of mine, Goodwin.
Please come in. Come in, Mr. Morio. You don't want to keep the rest of the guests waiting.
What do you want with me?
What do I want? Nothing. Mr. Wolf, this is Mr. Morio.
Sit down, sir. Take the red leather chair.
For special guests, Mr. Morio.
Yeah? Now, gentlemen, you're probably wondering why I asked you here. Naturally, you know it has to do with the death of Helen Renee.
Yeah,
Mr. Morio, I understand you and Miss Renee had some business transactions that involved quite a sum. That she purchased laboratory equipment.
That's right.
Archie told me that your warehouse contained nothing but secondhand junk. It was a shame, Mr. Morio, that this shipment was delayed by a shipping shortage. Otherwise, you might have gotten away with it.
Is this why you called me over here?
It is immaterial to the case at hand. Actually, I'm only interested in Helen Rennie's murder.
Hey, wait a minute. You don't think I did it?
Didn't you?
No. Mr. Wolf, I admit everything you said about the equipment. But I've had no part in any murder.
I see. Mr. Breen, you're a pilot of Warflyer. If you had shot the girl and wanted it to look like suicide, in which hand would you put the gun?
Why, her right hand.
Indeed. Where did you first meet Miss Renee?
Boarding the plane at Orly Field, Europe.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Renfrew.
Now, look here, Wolf. This has gone too far. I won't be put through any third degree. If you'll excuse me, I have to get to the dip.
Sit down, Renfrew.
Well,
Mr. Renfrew, I'm astonished that anyone would be as amateurish as they were in this case.
I don't understand.
Could it be that you killed Miss Renee and attempted to make it look like suicide because she was about to tell me that through forgeries, her bank account was $50,000 short?
Well, what reason would I have to kill her?
You told me yourself you phoned Miss Renee from your hotel the day she died. Yet there was no outgoing calls charged to your account.
Oh, this is nonsense. Ridiculous.
She suddenly became suspicious of you. And you are probably the only person here who knew that she was left-handed.
Well, what does that have to do with it?
She was shot through the right temple, Mr. Renfrew, while talking on the telephone. With a gun in her left hand, wouldn't it be awkward for her to twist her arm around her face and shoot herself? In your excitement, you forgot you had shot her in the right temple.
And what else do you know, Mr. Wolf?
That you once worked in Europe where you met Miss Renee, arranged to represent her in this country. Only you would know how much he had in the account here.
I've heard enough of this nonsense.
Yesterday, you made a statement. Quote, I hope whoever did this dreadful thing is dealt with properly. Only the police, the Nazi, and I knew Miss Renee had not died naturally. How did you know that? Unless you are the murderer.
Don't make a move, any of you. I was forced to eliminate her. She accidentally learned about the shortage, and she became most unreasonable about it. Phoned you about it.
Oh, dear me. So utterly weary of these melodramatics. Put up that gun.
I've spent 15 years sweating, trying to get enough money to live the way that I want. And now I have it, and neither you nor anybody is going to take it away from me. I'll kill anyone who tries to follow me out of this house. All right, Mr. Wolf, stand back.
Mr. Renfrew, don't, please.
I will take that gun from you and...
Oh, Miss Renfrew.
What the...
Well, Inspector, you certainly arrived at the proper time, even if you are late.
What do you mean, late? I've been standing out there listening to Renfrew for 5 minutes.
Boy, that's too close. Glad he missed you, Inspector.
Well, good night, Mr. Wolf.
Not so fast, Mr. Morio.
I suggest you hold Mr. Morio here for swindling Miss Rennie and her government. And Archie.
Yes, sir.
Do you know how to care for a person who has fainted?
I certainly do.
Then look behind you. Your pretty Miss Bennett has collapsed.
I'll get it. Hello?
Is this Miss Jean Bennett?
Yes.
Is Archie Goodwin there?
Well, yes. Just a minute. It's for you, Archie.
For me?
Mm-hmm.
No one knows I'm here. Hello?
I thought I'd find you there, Archie.
How'd you know I was here?
I figured that by the skill you expressed on reviving a patient from a deep faint. Archie, on the way home, I want you to stop at the delicatessen and pick up the following things. Ham, beer, cheese, olives.
My boss.
Now, Archie, how do you know you were here?
Pure deduction. That's why he's called the world's greatest detective.
Really?
Come here.
Yes. You might as well Archie, you shouldn't do...
Bananas,
oh.
Box of grapes.
Archie.
Archie, you listening to me? Oh, well, guess you didn't hear a word of it. Good night, Archie.
You have been listening to The New Adventures of Nero Wolfe, starring Sidney Greenstreet. Tonight's transcribed story by Virgil Reimer was based on the characters created by Rex Stout. This is an Edwin Fadiman production, produced and directed by J. Donald Wilson. In the cast were Harry Bartell as Archie Goodwin, and Lucille Alex, Val Brown, Bill Johnstone, Hal Gerard, Betty Lou Gerson, Vic Rodman, and Ed Bailey. This is Don Stanley speaking. Three chimes mean good times on NBC. Just listen to the stars on this Sunday's big show. Jimmy Durante, Ethel Merman, Milton Berle, and Gordon McRae. Plus, Meredith Wilson and his orchestra. Your MC on the big show, of course, is the glamorous Tallulah. And you're invited. And on Theater Guild on the Air this Sunday, you'll hear the comedy The Man in Possession, starring Rex Harrison and Lily Palmer. Don't forget, hear Ethel Merman on the big show Sunday on NBC.
With Harry Bartell as Archie and Sidney Greenstreet as the armchair detective. Orchid lover Nero Wolfe. That was the case of Room 304 from April 27, 1951. And we offer you next science fiction. from X-1. In a moment, as old-time radio drama continues on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. A list of missing persons is probably nothing extraordinary in the scheme of things, but what if that list is of persons who are not yet missing? And what if there's some kind of a pattern in their professions? Questions to be asked in The Man in the Moon. It's X-1 from May 29th, 1955.
Countdown for blastoff. X-5, -4, -3, -2, X-1, fire. From the far horizons of the unknown come tales of new dimensions in time and space. These are stories of the future. Adventures in which you'll live in a million could-be years on a thousand would-be worlds. The National Broadcasting Company presents X-1. Tonight's story, The Man in the Moon.
Attention, attention. This is the Federal Bureau of Missing Persons calling all local agencies. Attention, this is a coded report nationwide. Missing since 9 o'clock this morning, the following persons: Smigley Jonathan, 5 feet 8 inches tall, brown hair, brown eyes, mastoid scar behind right ear,
Hello.
Last seen wearing
Hello.
Blue top coat and
Hello.
Tan cap.
Hello,
wanted by Los Angeles.
Hello.
Hello, get off this wavelength.
Hello,
this is a restricted band.
Hello. Hello, Earth.
Whoever you are, you're on a coded
Hello,
wavelength.
Earth.
Tune out. This frequency is reserved
Hello.
For the Federal Bureau of Missing Persons.
Hello, Earth. This is the moon calling Earth. Hello, Earth.
This guy's loony.
This is Jake in transmission.
Jake, this is Charlie of the code room. Some crackpot is on our frequency.
Yeah, I heard him, Charlie. I've got CQ trying to trace the source now. We should have a triangulation any second.
Well, hurry it up, will you? Some ham is in for a good stiff fine by the FCC.
Yeah, they ought to take his license away. Oh, here comes Lenny with the directional fix.
Right.
Thanks, Lenny. Hey, what's this? This is impossible.
What's going on down there? How about it? Get that ham out of my kilocycles.
Oh, listen, Charlie, unless this is a gag, that interference is being beamed from 240,000 miles away.
Oh, now, Jake, you know there ain't no such thing as 240,000 miles away.
Yes, there is, Charlie. Straight up.
Oh, now, wait a minute.
Charlie, that signal is coming from the moon.
Are you nuts?
Well, somebody might be bouncing it like a radar signal.
Radar on this frequency? Where'd you study basic radio?
Now, listen, Flathead, you asked for a fix. I gave the best fix our instruments can find. Take it or leave it. Somebody on the moon is calling the Bureau of Missing Persons.
Timken, what's the sweat, Charlie? Shouldn't you be broadcasting?
Listen, Mr. Timken, you know I'm a sober citizen, right?
Mm-hmm.
Never once have I broadcast with the smell of alcohol on my breath, right?
Right.
In all your 12 years here at the Bureau, did I
well,
once
what's
ever...
What's the matter, Charlie?
We're picking up a message on our wavelength.
Well, did you report to the FCC?
I ain't got the nerve.
Well, what's wrong?
You'll scream when you hear this, Mr. Timken. You'll jump right out the window, but... We are getting an SOS from the moon. Well, that's it. He started on voice and switched to Morse. The way the signal repeats sounds like a phonograph record or automatic sender of some sort.
Well, what's it say?
Let's see here. Can you read me? Help Otterburn. Will contact when moon is in phase.
Let's have that again.
Can you read me? Help Otterburn. Will contact when moon is in phase.
Otterburn.
That sounds like a name, huh?
Otterburn. Otterburn. Wait a minute.
Something registered?
Cornelius Otterburn. Holy jumping Jehoshaphat.
Hey, where are you going?
Talk to the chief.
Hey, wait a minute. What are you going to tell him? We just got a CQ from the man in the moon?
That's exactly what I am going to tell him, Charlie.
Hey. Oh, no. This...
Just too much for me.
Washington Star Ledger.
Let me have O'Brien on city desk.
A moment.
O'Brien?
Seamus.
Yeah.
Charlie Starbuck down at the Missing Persons Bureau. You want a hot one? No kidding. This'll cost you a beer, okay?
All right, shoot, noodle brain. I'll stay on your wavelength for 30 seconds.
Okay. We just got a radio message from the moon.
Yeah. What?
From the moon.
Call me back when you're sober.
Okay, Seamus, if you don't know a story when you see one,
I'll send you the name of a good psychiatrist. So long, Orson Welles.
How do you like that? He don't believe me.
Otterburn, Mr. Wade. Now, does that name ring a bell?
You're the man with the photographic memory, Henry. What about Otterburn?
Cornelius Otterburn, atomic physicist, reported missing from his home in Baltimore on June 5th, 1945. Just 5 years ago, vanished completely.
Are you trying to tell me you really think there's something to this man of the moon business? Henry, I'm surprised at you. This is some crackpot trying to jam the airwaves.
Yes, but the name Otterburn is so unusual.
So are a lot of names.
And I have a theory that...
I was afraid of that. Henry, you always have a theory. Let's see, what was it last year? Oh, yes. That people disappear in occupational cycles.
But it's true.
Please, Henry, I'm a busy man. You expect me to believe that this Otterburn is sitting up on the moon, sending out shortwave messages?
Well, he might be on Earth, bouncing the messages off the moon. But who's to say he isn't on the moon?
Henry, as chief of this bureau, I have my hands full trying to coordinate reports from 48 states and Alaska. I have no time to include the moon.
But, Mr. Wade...
Out, Henry.
But, Mr. Wade...
Out. I'm busy.
Yes.
Oh, here. Take this folder of reports for the dead file.
Yes, sir.
And no more nonsense, eh, Henry?
Yes, sir.
I appreciate that you have a very dull job filing old missing persons reports, and I appreciate that you take an active interest in the affairs of the Bureau. But no more nonsense, huh?
No, sir. No more nonsense.
Pardon me.
Hmm?
You are Mr. Henry Timken.
That's my name.
Permit me, Jefferson Philo, scientific feature writer.
Oh, how do you do? Oh, are you a newspaper man?
Not exactly. I write as a hobby. Occasionally, the papers give me leads on an assignment. If I may have a moment of your time.
Oh, certainly. Just sit down at my desk over here.
Thank you. My, that's quite a stack of papers.
Filing. I'm the records custodian of the Bureau. 12 years and never misplaced a record.
Magnificent. I admire the precise mind, Mr.
Timken.
Of course. Now, Mr. Timken, Mr. O'Brien, the editor of the Star Ledger, said I might drop by and investigate a rumor. Only a rumor, mind you, that a message from the, moon?
Well, we aren't certain it's from the moon. It may be a bounce. They have bounced radar waves off the moon, you know.
Yes, and I know. I wrote the first newspaper article on it.
Really? I'd be interested to read it.
I must have a copy in my briefcase.
Well, don't bother.
But I insist. Oh, yes. There you are. I'll leave it on your desk.
Oh, thank you very much.
Now, about this message from the moon, Mr. Timken.
Well, now, we don't know for sure, as I said. But I believe that this message, wherever it originates, is from Cornelius Otterburn.
The physicist?
Oh, do you know him?
I once wrote an article on his contributions to nuclear mechanics. A brilliant man, Otterburn. Years ahead of his contemporaries.
Well, whoever is sending those signals, if he isn't on the moon, is at least using the moon as a sounding board, bouncing the signal.
But why, Mr. Timken? Why?
Well, if you will come here tomorrow night at 8, Mr. Philo, we may learn the answer to that question. I've arranged with Charlie, our radio man, to let me use the equipment.
May I consider this an invitation?
You certainly may.
Very well, sir. Until tomorrow night, then.
Goodbye, Mr. Philo. Let's see now. Aiken, Abelard, Abramson, Rono, Atchison. Well, that's funny. Now, where did this list of names come from? Paul Ahrens, astromathematician. Robert Simons, electronic engineer. Carl Parker, mining specialist. Well, this must have got mixed up with the papers on my desk by accident. Peculiar list of names. Oh, good morning, Charlie.
Oh, hi, Mr. Timken. See, we made the papers.
How?
And how? And as the chief steamed up about it, he really gave me what for.
What did the papers say?
Oh, mostly ha-ha. Here's the Herald, listen.
Man on the moon contacts missing persons bureau. Missing atomic scientists sitting on the moon, say bureau experts, etc., etc. What a panty.
Well, no wonder Mr. Wade is hopping.
Say, about tonight, Mr. Timken, I don't
now,
know.
Now, you promised you'd give me a key to the radio room.
Yeah, but I didn't expect
it. I'll take full responsibility with Mr. Wade.
It's the time for the morning broadcast. We got quite a list today.
Well, mind if I listen a while? We may hear Otterburn.
Why, ain't self-conscious. Just stick around.
Yes.
Attention. Attention. This is the Federal Missing Persons Bureau calling all local agencies. Nationwide. This is a coded broadcast. The following persons are missing. Aarons, Dr. Paul,
what?
5'5", brown hair, brown eyes, scar on left side of chin, thick glasses.
Aarons.
Occupation, astromathematician. Missing since 6 o'clock this morning. Being sought by Bel Air Police.
Charlie.
Repeat, Dr. Paul
Charlie,
Aarons.
Charlie, shut it off a second.
Hold it. A delay, 1 minute. Listen, Mr. Timken, it's okay to stay, but you can't interrupt.
This is important. Did you say Dr. Aarons was reported missing this morning?
6 a.m. We got the report from Bel Air less than an hour ago.
That, are you certain, Charlie?
Positive. What is this?
Charlie, what's the next name on the list?
Let's see. Simons, Robert, engineer.
What?
Came in less than 20 minutes ago.
20?
Hey, what's the matter with you? You look like you've seen a ghost.
There's nothing, Charlie, except that last night, quite by accident, someone left a list of names on my desk. And that list included the names of those two men who were reported missing within the last hour.
What? Oh, that don't sound right to me.
Well, it isn't right, Charlie. It leaves a big question to be answered. Who would make up a list of missing persons before they were missing, not after?
And you say this list of names was left on your desk accidentally?
Well, I believe so, Mr. Wade.
Do you have any ideas, Henry?
Well, it's hard to say. Mr. Philo left some papers from his briefcase.
Mr. Philo?
Well, a science feature writer.
I see. You were the leak on that story, then?
Well, yes, sir, I'm afraid I was. I didn't think it would be treated as a laughing matter.
Well, we'll deal with that later.
Yes, sir.
What's this Philo like?
Well, he's a strange old duck. Bald, thick glasses, tall. He walks stooped over. Seems to know a great deal about scientific data. But, of course, being a science writer, he...
Is there any other possibility?
Well, I believe that this is all hooked up with the broadcast from Otterburn.
That seems to be a very remote possibility.
Well, a missing persons bureau deals in remote possibilities, Mr. Wade.
I do not require a statement of policy.
Yes, sir.
What's the theory?
Well, for some time now, it has been my contention that in a country like ours, where even the cleverest criminal can be ferreted out and located eventually, there is no such thing as a missing person.
I was afraid of that.
For 12 years now, I have kept the central files, where information from all over the country is channeled and recorded. I have made a private study.
This is beginning to sound familiar, Henry.
And I have discovered that each year, literally thousands of persons vanish, leaving no trace. They are never located. Where do they go? Nobody knows.
And
they disappear in interesting cycles.
What sort of cycles?
Occupations, for example. One year we'll have a run on, well, say, coal miners. Next year the proportion of engineers increases. And then scientists. And
what do you think happens, Henry?
I don't know, Mr. Wade, but I'm beginning to suspect that somebody else has discovered the same phenomenon, even to the point, perhaps, of being able to predict who will turn up among the missing next.
Philo?
Well, I don't know, but I would like to find out.
And you think Otterburn may be a part of this picture?
Mr. Wade, I definitely do.
Henry, do you honestly expect me to buy an idea like that?
It is more than an idea. The two top men on this list are missing, and...
Maybe so, but the rest of them aren't. Parker, Watson, Gibbs. Why, I saw Parker in the restaurant where I had lunch today.
Yes, but...
And if you think I'm going to make myself a laughingstock by accepting such a cracked brain theory...
Well, I...
Excuse me.
Yes.
Hello, Wade speaking. Yes? Yes? I see. What name? Just a moment. Henry, let me see that list again.
Here you are, sir.
Go ahead. I see. I'll get back to you. I guess I owe you an apology, Henry.
Sir?
Carl Parker was just reported missing.
Parker?
Third man on your list.
Holy mackerel.
Exactly. Henry, for a good many years now, I've ridiculed these theories of yours.
I don't know. Perhaps I've underestimated you. Maybe this time you've really stumbled onto something.
What do you intend to do, Mr. Wade?
I don't know. I haven't thought it out yet.
I was planning to listen for another broadcast tonight in the hope that Otterburn might try to contact us again.
Good idea. I believe I'll join you.
I also invited Mr. Philo, the feature writer.
Oh? I'll be glad to meet him. I'm beginning to get interested in you, Mr. Philo.
Mr. Wade, you don't think...
That he's mixed up in this?
Yes.
I don't know, Henry. But it suddenly strikes me that we don't know very much about him, really.
We ought to contact the police.
No, Henry. I think we're better off keeping this between ourselves for the moment. We're dealing with the unknown. And in solving an equation for the X factor, it's often easier to limit the number of terms. Do you follow me?
I don't know, Mr. Wade.
There may be more danger in what you have discovered than you are aware of. Let's keep it quiet. Do you agree?
Maybe you're right, Mr. Wade. I hadn't thought of the danger involved.
Mr. Filer was late.
Well, he said he'd be here. He strikes me as a man who keeps appointments.
Look out the window.
Yes, sir.
The moon is almost in direct phase. We can't wait much longer.
Well, it's a perfectly clear night for transmission. If anybody's sending, we ought to pick it up with this equipment.
You'd better switch on the set.
Yes. I never realized how eerie this office could be when it was empty.
I left a light in the hall for Mr. Filer when he comes. Are you getting anything?
Just some foreign stuff, I think.
The British portion of tonight's programming from Johannesburg, South Africa. We continue in effort.
That's a peculiar transmission sound.
Well,
that sounds like something. See if I can work the selector.
The moon is in phase.
Yes, sir.
Hello. Can you hear me?
I'll try to return. Hello? Hello?
Hello.
Hello, do you hear me?
Oh, I get you now. Thank God.
Who are you? Can you hear me? Who are you?
This is Professor Cornelius Otterburn. Hello?
Go on. I hear you.
Not much time. They're on to me. They've located my sending point. You hear me?
Go ahead. Keep talking.
I've only enough oxygen for a few minutes more.
Well, where are you?
I'm on the Earth side of the moon. You get that? The Earth side of the moon. A volcanic crater.
Good. Start that recorder, Mr. Wade. Go on. Explain, please. Explain, please.
Now listen closely. There is an Earth colony on the moon. There is an Earth colony on the far side of the moon, made up of renegade scientists and criminals. Professor Ernst Halsman...
He died in an insane asylum in 1938.
Professor Ernst Halsman discovered nuclear rocket power in 1935. Turned his plans over to escaped inmates of the asylum. They took off and set up a colony on the far side of the moon in 1938.
Go ahead, we're recording you.
Each year, they recruit new colonists from Earth. Slave labor, mostly. I was kidnapped in 1945.
Yes, I know. I'll keep talking.
They wanted me to work on atomic drive for their flying disc.
Still getting you. Go on.
Last month, six others and I escaped.
Speak louder.
You got to stop them. Stop them.
Stop who?
The moon colony. Planning to take over the Earth. Invasion.
Hang on.
No oxygen. Hard to breathe. Listen. They have agents on Earth. You hear me?
Agents on Earth? Where? Who? Hello? Hello? Hello?
Agents in...
Henry, look out.
Light.
Someone at the window. Get down.
Henry, are you all right? I think so. His shot smashed the transmitter.
And the lights. Strike a match.
Careful. Yeah, it was close.
I got a look at him. From the description, it was your Mr. Philo.
We got a recording anyway. But not the most important part of the message. Poor Otterburn. Suffocating to death.
Henry, we've got to get you out of here. He said they have agents. Philo was probably one of them. He'll be looking for you now, trying to kill you.
the police...
You think the police would believe a fantastic story like this? People being kidnapped to the moon as slave labor? Moon colony planning an invasion of the Earth?
But,
Henry, believe me, they'd clap us into straitjackets before we could finish.
Well, we've got to do something.
We need time. Time to get through.
You don't think my theory was bunk then?
I know it wasn't, Henry. Right now, my only concern is for your safety.
But we can't walk out of here. Philo's probably waiting.
Listen. There's a service elevator that leads to the basement garage.
Yeah?
We can get down there. There are some delivery trucks parked there all night. We can probably get one started. The garage door's off the ramp, worked from the inside. We'll start the mechanism and make a run for it.
I don't know. I think if we call the police...
By the time the police get here, we'll be dead. You think Philo will wait outside all night? Come on. That's an order.
Okay. But what about the recording of Otterburn's notes?
We'll leave that here in the safe in my office. They'll never get into that. Let's go. You buzz the elevator while I hide the recording. This is the basement. Come on. Keep to the side.
Yes, sir.
Shh. Let's try that delivery truck over there. I'll get in. All right, Henry. You start the mechanism to open the garage door, then jump onto the truck.
Yes, sir.
We'll make a dash for it.
Where can we go?
I have a farm outside Chevy Chase. It's private. Miles from the nearest neighbor and completely hidden by trees. We'll run for that. Go ahead. Start the door up.
All right.
Quick. Jump in. Here we go, Henry. Cross your fingers. It out all right. Anything doing?
There's a blue coupe behind us, Mr. Wade. It seems to be following.
I'll cut up Pennsylvania Avenue. Now Route 1 toward Baltimore.
It is following. He turned with us. Can you go faster?
Not much faster.
He's gaining on us.
I've got an idea. Hang on, Henry.
Yes. Why'd you stop?
I'll turn off the lights. Worked. He shot right past us. Now we'll double back and go out another route.
Well, I don't see anything. I think we've lost him.
Good. I think everything's going to be all right now. We can be at my farm in less than an hour. Not much longer now. Is anyone behind us?
I thought I saw the blue coupe again, but I was mistaken. Whew. This place is really out in the wilderness.
We can stay here indefinitely till we'll figure out the next move. Now, just up this dirt road now, there's the house up ahead.
You're not going toward it?
No, I have a better idea. There's a big abandoned wheat silo on my grounds. It's down a hollow where it can't be seen except from the air. And even then, the oak trees shield it. We'll hide you out there. We leave the truck here. It'll never be seen. Come on.
Yes. How did you ever find this place, Mr. Wade?
I've always liked seclusion. I bought it about 12 years ago. Come up here in the summertime to get away from it all. There's the silo.
It's certainly well hidden.
There's a small door around the side. Come on. Be careful of those bushes.
Yes.
It's hard to see them in the dark.
Do you suppose Philo will find us?
I assure you, Henry, Mr. Philo will never find us here. Not in a million years. Here's the door.
It's pitch dark.
Hold my arm. I know the way. Just a few steps up and another door.
Steel? Well, this is an unusual silo. Double-walled. Wood outside and steel inside?
Completely fireproof. An army couldn't wreck it. We're inside the inner shell. Careful.
Yes.
You're in a circular room. Stay here a moment. I'll go outside and see if the coast is clear. In a moment, your eyes will become accustomed to the darkness. I'll bring back some food and water.
Don't be long, Mr. Wade. This place gives me the willies.
Just a moment.
Mr. Wade. I swear I hear something. Mr. Wade. What's that? There is something. Good Lord. There's someone in here. It's locked. Oh, no. Mr. Wade. Mr. Wade, let me out. I'm not alone in here. Mr. Wade. This must be a light switch. Thank God. Oh, no. People. 10, 15, 20. Mr. Wade, help! Help!
It'll do you no good to shout, Henry.
Mr. Wade, where are you?
Outside. Speaking over the intercom.
Mr. Wade, there are people in here. 15 or 20 of them. They're sitting like statues, just staring at me.
They won't hurt you, Henry.
What?
They've all been drugged. They're even more helpless than you.
But who are they?
Permit me to introduce them, Henry, since they're currently unable to introduce themselves. The gentleman seated before you, the one with the scar, is Dr. Paul Ahrens, the astro-mathematician. Next to him is Mr. Robert Simons, electronic engineer.
Names on the list.
Yes, you're familiar with the rest. They've all been, shall we say, recruited for work with Professor Halsman's group on the moon.
The moon? Then you're one of them.
Of course. Oh, yes. There's one whose name was not on our list. If you'll turn around, Henry, you'll recognize the drugged form of your old friend, Mr. Philo.
Philo? But I thought...
That he was part of the conspiracy? No. On the contrary. His snooping made it necessary for us to include
him. Yes, but the man in the window, the one who fired the shot...
An agent of mine. The pilot of this ship.
Ship? What ship?
This silo is camouflaged for a rocket launching platform. In a moment, the roof will slide back for the rocket's takeoff.
A rocket ship?
In exactly 70 hours, you and your companions will join Professor Otterburn on the moon.
But you can't do this to me.
We have done it, Henry.
No!
You see, there was another name omitted in that list, which I carelessly mixed up with your papers. That of Henry Timken.
No!
Bon voyage.
I won't let you do this! You can't! Please let me out! Let me out, please! It can't
happen! Let me out! Let me out! Attention! Attention! Missing since 8 o'clock last night, the following persons. Timken Henry, age 45. Height 5 feet 8, 165 pounds, brown eyes, slightly balding. Occupation, records custodian. Repeat, Timken Henry, age 45, height 5 feet 8, 165 pounds.
In just a moment, a word about next week's adventure. Tonight, by transcription, X-1 has brought you The Man in the Moon, an original radio drama written by George Lefferts. Featured in the cast were Louis Van Ruten as Henry, Santos Ortega as the Chief, Ross Martin as Charlie, Sidney Smith as Otterburn, Bob Haig as Jake, Joe DeSantis as Philo, and Ed Latimer as O'Brien. Your announcer, Fred Collins. X-1 was directed by Fred Way and is an NBC Radio Network production. And now, next week, the sign on the window said Parigi's Wonderful Dolls. A woman and a child waited outside. The little girl peering eagerly through the window and the woman glancing impatiently at her wristwatch as if expecting someone who was late for an appointment. And there was nothing about Parigi's doll shop to warn them that they were waiting to keep an appointment with Doom at X-1.
At a time when the moon was still, or I should say perhaps even more than today, a very mysterious and fascinating place. That was The Man in the Moon, science fiction from X-1, vintage May 29th, 1955. And our last excursion for old-time radio drama for a Saturday night, but we'll have more tomorrow night, 8 to 11, and next Saturday night, too, 8 to 11. I'm Norman Gilliland. Hope you can join me then by the glow of your radio here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.